I'm going to talk this morning about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So you may be part of a small place, a small city, but you're part of a very, very large, big kingdom. Amen. Understand that this morning. So I want to pray before we start that we can open up our hearts. Amen. Get ready. So are you okay? Are you blessed? Have you had a good week? Pastor, under the circumstances. Well, thank God we above only, not beneath. We choose to speak the word of God over any situation. The battleground is the mind. Don't let the enemy get you into a place of neutrality, weakness, fear. Faith doesn't deny the circumstances, but it denies the circumstances the right to rule in your life. Don't let fear get a hold of you. Don't let the gift of God that is inside of you become dormant because of worry and anxiety and fear about the future. God has said it. The thoughts I think towards you, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. So you have a bright future. Amen. Even if you don't feel like it, you have to say it. Your mouth isn't meant to describe your circumstances or your feelings. Your mouth is created by God to create your future. That's why the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Jesus said if you would speak, if you would address the storm, the mountain, it would have to obey you. So some of you may be facing a storm, a mountain, a Goliath. You have to, like I said last week, you have to decree your vision. Even, and in most cases, it's contrary. God gives you a dream to maybe to be a sportsman, to be a Springbok, to be a top musician, and everything goes in the opposite direction. You get dropped from the team the next day. God tells you, you're going to be a businessman. You're going to finance God's kingdom. And then all of a sudden, all your clients just leave you the next day. That's why God gave you the word. So you can believe the word above your circumstances. That you have a hope and a promise and a preferred picture. That's why you got to write it down. And though it tarries, hey, the Bible says, surely it's going to come to pass. So we are not those that don't know, that don't have hope. You may be knocked down. You may be challenged. But you're not out. Amen. Come on, if there's still oxygen in your lungs this morning, you can say praise Jesus. Amen. Come on, it ain't over till God says it's over. So come on. Wherever you are this morning, watching online in the beautiful mother's room, sitting here today, I want you to know God has a message for you. So let's open up our hearts and let's receive, all of us, myself included. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that we can be part of this great vision, this great move to see the lost get saved, to build one church in many locations. What an honor it is to advance your kingdom. I pray today, Lord, open up our eyes. Thank you for revelation. Bypass natural intellect and reasoning. And thank you for life, words of life and rhema. That we will be permanently changed. We receive this by faith in Jesus' mighty name. And those who agree say amen. We say amen in this church. We say so be it. That's how it's going to be. Amen. Okay. So before Jesus' arrival, he sent a forerunner. His name was John the Baptist. Matthew 3 verse 2, he said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Look, it's like he was the forerunner. Every time a king would arrive in a city or a region, they would send people forerunners. They would prepare the way. And John the Baptist was Jesus' forerunner. And his message was clear, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus, when he arrived on the scene, it was the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus' public ministry, if you understand the nation of Israel and you understand the times where Jesus was, the majority of his ministry took place up in the north of Israel, Galilee, where there was fishermen, wasn't very religious, wasn't very churchified. As you move more south towards the temple, Jerusalem, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the radical religious folk were, that actually killed him in the end, that would be closer towards Jerusalem. But the bulk of his ministry when he entered the ministry with miracles and signs and wonders took place up in the north. And like I say, it wasn't just Jewish people. There was a lot of Gentiles, you and me. His main theme when he started the ministry was the same. It was repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And the kingdom of God refers to a realm in which God's kingship is acknowledged and his kingly rule is established. So a royal jurisdiction, the king's jurisdiction, where it's exercised. The kingdom of God is where the king is exercising his royal jurisdiction, where there's an extension of the homeland, the extension of the government. So if you're a practicing lawyer in South Africa, you've studied and you've passed a bar exam based on the South African law, that doesn't automatically qualify you to go and be a lawyer anywhere in the world. Am I right? You don't have jurisdiction there because it's a different law. If you're a police officer in South Africa, that doesn't just make you a police officer in another country. You agree with me? You don't have jurisdiction to arrest people there. You have to go and find a police officer because it's a different law. So the kingdom of God refers to this realm where the king rules, he's acknowledged, and his rule is established. It is an extension of his government. Where God's kingdom extends, there's the same law. So that's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ exercising kingdom jurisdiction all over the world. Because his kingdom can be exercised in China, in America, in Israel, in Iran, in Australia, in Europe. His kingdom can be extended because God rules the whole world. The kingdom is simply a king over a dominion, a territory. The dom is kingdom, dominion. Dis nie Afrikaanse woord dom nie. Okay, is of dominy. This dominion, which represents territory, land. A king exercising his authority over a specific territory. The Bible frequently uses the word realm. Realm. Say it with me. Say realm. To denote a sphere of influence or a state of being rather than just a physical location. The kingdom of God is under the rule of a sovereign. Now, we in South Africa, we are a democracy, so sometimes we don't always understand it. You know, that's why I was explaining to my kids this week the difference between a democracy and a kingdom. I said in Lesotho, it is known as the kingdom of Lesotho because there's a king who exercises authority over his domain. South Africa is not a kingdom. We're a democracy. We vote leaders into power. We have a president. That's why it's called the Republic of South Africa. It's not the kingdom of South Africa. It's a little bit different to the kingdom. So the king exercises his role over a territory. The kingdom of God is under the rule of a sovereign, one person, which is our God. And you can understand this not just only in the physical, but also in the spiritual realm as well. It defines where a person operates, either in the flesh or the spirit. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 speaks about when we get saved, we are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and we translated into the kingdom of light. Before you and I were saved, we were under the rule of Satan. You can say, you can kick against it. You can say, Pastor, how can you say that? Well, the Bible says it clearly. We were sinners. We walked in darkness. We had no fellowship with light. We didn't want God. Maybe we had a conviction and we had a upbringing, but until the day we got saved, we were walking in darkness. That's why the Bible says when Jesus came, his prophecy was those who were walking in darkness have seen a great light. That was the prophetic word when Jesus came. In Jesus himself, the King and his kingdom has now come to earth. Listen, this is important. Just stay with me. I'm just doing a short teaching. Wherever Jesus is revealed, and two, where his ministry is received, the kingdom of God advances. That's why perfect love casts out fear. That's why we are called to love this world. It's an opposite. This world says we are to hate people. We are to take revenge. But as Pastor Art has declared, 2026 is a year of invasion of love. We are to do the opposite. We're to operate with another force in another realm. We are to bless those who persecute you. You are to pray for those who hate you. So where he's revealed and where his ministry is received, the kingdom of God advances, like church, like home cell, and wherever the word of God is. The power of sin and Satan is broken as God's rule is now reestablished. Reestablished from what Adam lost. The arrival of the kingdom of God demands a response from human beings. This is important now. Stay with me. Bump your neighbor, say, are you okay? The arrival of the kingdom of God required a response. That's why in this church, I'm always going to ask you to say amen, clap your hands. Don't just look dead there. Maybe you're a visitor today, that's fine. But as you grow with us, as you attend church, you see there's always a response. There's a response. Where Jesus was, there was always a response. People were either mad, sad, or glad, but there was a response. Jesus would get up in the face of people. The religious people would grind their teeth. They tried to kill him many times. But where Jesus was, there was a response. Where the kingdom of God is, there's a response. You must respond. So the arrival of God's kingdom, of the kingdom of God, demanded a response from human beings to initially, number one, repent, and number two, believe the good news that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. Those that would hear the message of Jesus need to believe it and act on their belief, turn from sin and embrace the King and his rule. That's when the kingdom of God is now operating in and through your life. So can I get my illustration up, please? Marcus, how many rotations do you think he can do with a hula hoop this morning? Okay, so for illustration purposes, this hula hoop, the circle, is going to represent the realm that he operates in. He's now a born-again Christian, so put the realm around you. There it is. Okay, it's just an illustration, please. John 3 verse 3 says it like this: most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said it again. He said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. So it's one thing to see God's kingdom. Now that you see it, you have to enter it. You have to obey it. You have to enter in. You have to activate it. We have a world to change. There are people facing a crisis in our city. We need men and women to not just see the kingdom of God, but to enter it and to operate and to release faith and to, like Jesus said, Father, as it is in heaven, so be it on this earth. We need men and women. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, will he find faith on the earth? We need men and women who will activate the kingdom of God. Are you in the kingdom of God? That's the question this morning. Are you seeing the kingdom of God? Are you discerning what is taking place? We are not tone deaf. We are sons and daughters who are alert. So if you're born again, born of the water, born of the Spirit, you can see and you can enter it. If you find it, everything changes. You'll be a sellout. You'll be sold out to God's church and his kingdom. That's why that parable about Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a treasure. And he quickly runs, he sells everything and he buys the land because he understands that he's found the meaning of life. He's found the meaning of purpose. He's got it. Ah, hallelujah, he's got it. He's found the pearl of great price. He's sold out. You have to hear this morning, please. We should not play games. We should not play church. We should not be religious. We shouldn't just tick off, okay, I've come to church. We should live out our faith. We have a job to do. We have a city to change. We are a governmental church. You know that. We are called to take territory. We're called to advance God's kingdom. So it's not flesh and blood that reveals it. It's revelation, which my Father reveals. And on this rock you build. So we must live and operate in the realm of the kingdom. It's different in this kingdom, yeah, because he's now Christian. He has to forgive. Amen. He can like Kaiser Chiefs or Pirates or the Blue Bulls. But he can't put it above the kingdom. Your culture's nice, your family's nice, but he cannot operate outside of where he is, which is the realm of the kingdom of God. He's a bond servant. He has to forgive. He has to love God. He has to speak hope. He has to be led by God. He has to live by the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. It's in this realm where the supernatural happens. Where if he's in the realm of the kingdom of God, he can take his hand and lay hands on the sick. An unsafe person will not take their hands and lay their hands on sick people. But in the kingdom of God, something changes. He operates in a different realm, the supernatural realm. He can lay hands on the sick and they can recover. He can cast out demons, which was a very good sign that the kingdom of God had come. He can, in this place here, he can sow seed in the kingdom of God, and God can multiply it and increase it. The Bible says in this kingdom you can give, and God says it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Because he's operating in a different kingdom. It's in this kingdom where 1,000 can fall on his left, 10,000 on his right, but he will stand because his feet's in the kingdom. He's in the word of God, he's in the kingdom. I may be outside of the kingdom. We both face a storm. I will collapse. He will stand because he's in the kingdom. He sees the kingdom. He's heaven bound. If he dies and I die, I don't know where I'm going. He knows where he's going because he's already in the kingdom. Do you see it this morning? It's a realm of the supernatural. It's here where Jesus broke the bread and he fed 5,000 people. He said, Father, your kingdom come. I pray, Lord, that they can see mass provision, mass healing, mass deliverance in the kingdom, in the realm. You see it this morning. It's not limited to an address. Just put it down. Just walk out of it. The kingdom of God is not just there. Not just limited there. It's not limited to an address or a building. It may start here. It may be ignited here. But ultimately, it's where he is. You understand that? In Luke 17 verse 20, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, put the scripture up please. Nor will they say, see ya, or see there. Because the kingdom of God is not a place. It's not a geographical location. Climb into the kingdom please. Pick it up. Where's the kingdom? Walk around. It's not limited to a place. It's where he is. Wherever Marcus is, the kingdom of God is there. Wherever you are, when you go to work on a Monday, the kingdom of heaven has just arrived. The kingdom of God has just come to Kimberley. That's why don't be that carnal Christian who just wants to go where the opportunity is. Hey, you go with yourself. Go in the kingdom of God. This realm encompasses the battle between good and evil. Ephesians 6 verse 12. There's an attack. There's a violent assault on him. Because he's in the kingdom. There's a spiritual attack. The Bible says the darts of the fiery wicked one. In heavenly realms. The Bible also says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly realms. But he's in the kingdom. I'd rather be in the kingdom, thank you very much, than anywhere else. The safest place on the planet is not in a bunker. It's not in that country. It's not there. It's not there. The safest place you can be is both feet in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said, don't fear those that can destroy your body. He said, fear him who can destroy your body and then send you to heaven or to hell. But if you are in Christ, if you're in Jesus, Jesus is lording over Marcus. Jesus is the king over Marcus. He's the sovereign. His king is not a president who got voted in by man, who can be voted out by man. No, his king is a king who was appointed by God. He's a priest forever and ever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You cannot outvote Jesus. You cannot outpay Jesus. He will rule and reign forever and ever. His rule and his kingdom is a dominion that will reign forever and ever. There's no government, there's no political party that will live longer, that will rule longer than the kingdom of God. So you have to see it this morning. Because if you see it, you operate differently. You won't be so fearful. If you've made Jesus your Lord, then you're under his kingdom rule. You are part of the kingdom now. Kingdom of God reigns on you. You're under kingdom dominion. You're a man under authority, a woman under authority. You're a subject of the kingdom. The well-being of his kingdom and the citizens is the responsibility of the king. And his glory is seen in the well-being of his people. So that's why Jesus said, don't worry what you will eat or drink. He says, not even Solomon, the wealthy man, could have clothed as nice as the birds and the lilies and the gardens. God's responsibility, don't forget this, please. We are parents, we are men and women of responsibility, understand that. We are to pay bills, we are to be leaders in our community. But listen, all of us need to remind ourselves we should have God, childlike faith, that ultimately God is going to take care of us. Amen. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God has a responsibility to rule over his subjects, over his people. He's a good king. He's not an evil king who's just there to tax you, like we see within the days of Robin Hood and all these stories. Our God is a good God. He wants to bless his people. He wants you to rule and reign. To be the head and not the tail, to be above only not beneath, to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Amen. Come on, this region should be blessed because there are many of you that are in the kingdom. Amen. You're not religious. You are saved. You're born again. You are walking, you are operating in a realm of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So things have to change. That's why it says, don't say the kingdom of God comes with observation. Where's the kingdom of God? It's inside of you. It's inside of you. Romans 14 verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, Marcus. Okay. The kingdom of God is about righteousness. How many of you are righteous? Right standing with God. It's about peace. You can go through a storm. Everything is collapsing around you. But you don't understand. Why have I got peace? Because your feet are in the realm of the kingdom. You have peace that passes all understanding. Things may be going tough at the moment, but God gives a peace. A spiritual force that operates is released for those who are subjects and are submitted to the king and his kingdom. Jesus. And then, of course, like I said this morning, it's not in meat or drink, but it's in righteousness, peace, and it's in joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to ask God, say, Lord, baptize me with joy. Help me to laugh again. It's not happiness. Happiness is fickle. I'm happy when my team wins. I'm happy when I've got money in my bank account. No, no, no. Joy is a constant. Whether it's up or down, you have joy that comes from your belly. Joy, what type of joy? Joy that's in the Holy Ghost. Because if the world didn't give it, then the world can't take it away. I've got joy. I've got peace like a river, and I've got joy. Come on, is this helping you this morning? You and I are in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God. So just like there's a realm called the kingdom of God, there's the kingdom. There's the kingdom of heaven. Heaven, the heavenly realm. The third heaven where God lives. It's His dwelling place. There is a heaven. There is a hell. In heaven, it's the dwelling place where God lives. And His angels are, the redeemed. It's a realm of eternal glory. And you must look forward to it one day, okay? If you're born again, you're saved, you're baptized, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have some good things to look forward to in heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place, full of mercy and grace. There's no tears in heaven. There's no lack. There's no sickness in heaven. It's a good place. Come on, how many of you are excited to go to heaven? Yeah, yes. Sometimes you must just lift up your eyes again off the problem. Just look at heaven. Heaven is your home, man. Heaven is your ultimate home. You're only going to be on this earth for how many years? And then you're over. You have an expiry date. Yes. Pastor, when's your expiry date? Let me see you. Oh, thank goodness God doesn't tell us. The Bible does say when Jesus comes back, we should be living by faith. We should have a vision from God. We should connect with our gifts. And we should be advancing God's kingdom and operating in the kingdom of God. Heaven is a beautiful place. We should ask people, do you know where you're going to go if you die? Our job is to take this realm and enlarge it. Put your realm on me, Marcus. He's going to dwip me now. Ooh. His job is to put me, help me through Christ. Help me to repent. Help me to believe in Jesus so that I now can also operate in the kingdom of God. Wow. Well, this is different. I've got peace. Where did this peace? I've got joy. I've got righteousness. I'm not a sinner. I'm saved and washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a king. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not guilty. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not condemned. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And wherever I go, praise God, I'm not just there on a Sunday, ooh, and now I'm facing Monday. No, thank you, Jesus. I'm saved. On a Monday, the kingdom of God comes with me. On a Tuesday, the kingdom of God. David said, though I make my bed in hell, God, you are with me. Hallelujah. He will never leave you or forsake you because you are in the kingdom of God. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God, you are with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Yara. Jump through this morning. You're almost done. There's a conflict with the kingdom of God. Throughout scripture, there's a clear conflict between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Between the two realms, light and darkness, good and evil, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness, there's a contrast, there's conflict, there's a war, there's a battle. You didn't start it. We didn't initiate this war. We didn't press the button and release the weapons like they did yesterday over the Middle East. No, this war broke out before you and I were even born. War broke out in the heavenlies. And you must understand that there is a spiritual battle. And sometimes all hell breaks loose. And it's not your fault. It's just because we're in a war. Jesus himself stated, my kingdom is not of this world. And he highlighted the spiritual nature of his reign in contrast to earthly powers. Satan's dominion, the kingdom of this world, frequently associated with the dominion of Satan, That's why if you look at the world, you can see where Satan operates. You can see it. It's evil, darkness. People say, how can a good God let this happen? Because there's Satan who also exercises his dominion over people. He's the ruler of this world, John 12 verse 31. It indicates a temporary authority over earthly systems and structures, which is often in opposition to God's purposes. But I've got good news this morning. This kingdom is always superior. Daniel 17, 14 says, and he was given dominion, glory, and kingship, that the people of every nation and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is the one that will never be destroyed. You can tear down the buildings, but you cannot tear down this realm, because it's a supernatural realm that is Jesus exercising authority from heaven over this earth. Daniel 2:44, in the days of those king, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will shatter all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself stand forever. And ever and ever. So the ultimate fate, the kingdom of this world, will be subject to the kingdom of God. Revelation 19 verse 11 to 16 describes the return of Jesus Christ as a conquering king. I want you to know our Savior is coming back. Jesus is coming back. How many of you believe that? And he will judge and wage war against the forces of evil. This is the culmination and the establishment of God's eternal kingdom, where righteousness and peace will prevail forever and ever. Say amen with your pastor this morning. So when you get saved, you become an ambassador. An ambassador. The Bible says, the Bible calls us in 2 Corinthians 5:20, says, now then we are ambassadors. You're an ambassador. You're from another country. You live here, but you're actually from another homeland. You're from another nation. You're from another place. You're from heaven. The Bible says you've been seated and raised up in heavenly places, in heavenly realms. If you're saved, you're a child of God. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a king's kid. You're a royal priesthood. You're blood washed. You've been made righteous. You're different. You don't run with the world now. You're bought with a price. I've shared this example, but there may be one or two of you that haven't heard it. I went to get my visa. I mean, it's so cool to have children, because now you get to explain to them how governments work. They thought you just climb on a plane and you go to America or you go to China. I said, no, you've got to go to the embassy who's in South Africa, and you've got to ask for permission, and you have to persuade the embassy in your country to give you a stamp. It's called a visa, to allow you to go into their country. Because otherwise you're going to pay an expensive air ticket, and you're going to get to the border customs, and they're going to say, where's your visa? And you don't even want to say, sorry, we're not going to let you in. You need a, your passport is different now. You have to be born again. You want to go to heaven, you've got to be washed by the blood of Jesus. You have to repent of your sins. You have to put your pride in your pocket. You have to acknowledge that you need a Savior. His name is Jesus. You cannot get to heaven by your good works, by your religion, by what you can do. You cannot wash yourself of your sin. You need a Savior. You need a substitute. Otherwise, they will say you cannot enter. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And you're born of the water and the Spirit. You're not going to get into that realm unless you are saved. And you've confessed. You've got to get over yourself. I know you're important. I know you're special. I know you come maybe from a good family. But your righteousness has to exceed that. Amen. You need forgiveness. And when you do, you enter into dual citizenship. You're now South African, but you're also a citizen of heaven. You get the passport. The embassy has to stamp your visa and send you on your way. When I went to China, I got there at 10 o'clock. They closed at 12 o'clock. I said, why do you close at 12 o'clock? They said, because that's the time back home when the place is closed. Because you're standing on South African soil, but you're actually standing in the embassy of China. Do you understand that? While you're in an embassy and you're on their territory, you are standing in China, even though you're not in China. Do you understand? While he's standing here, he's in the kingdom of God, even though he's still on earth. He's not in heaven yet. He's an extension. He's an ambassador. He's a citizen of heaven. And he's yet to extend. He's yet to expand. He's yet to enforce and drive out Satan and sin and evil and sickness and disease and cast out demons and expand God's kingdom and be led by the Holy Ghost and forgive people and sow and serve and build God's kingdom on this earth. Because he has an assignment from heaven. He has a heavenly call. He has a heavenly vision to be an anointed architect, to be an anointed principal. Hallelujah. Because he's in the kingdom. He's in the kingdom. We're ambassadors. You need to tell your neighbor, hey, I didn't know this, but I'm an ambassador. You got to carry yourself like an ambassador. Don't carry yourself just like your family name. Thank God for your family name. Let me tell you, the ambassador of Brazil, if he's in South Africa, which there is an embassy in Pretoria, he can't just act like he wants to. He has to act on behalf of his country, where he's from. You can't just live a life you want to live. You have to represent the kingdom where you're from. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You've got to get to know God. You've got to get to know you. You've got to walk with Jesus and the King. You're a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3:20. Ephesians 2:6. God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms. Christ Jesus. Matthew 12:28. But if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Healing the sick, casting out demons, demonstrating this, that Jesus had authority over sickness and Satan. Our kingdom is a greater kingdom. It's a superior kingdom of this world. That's why Pilate wanted to confront Jesus, he said, you're a king. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. You don't understand. I am a king, but my king isn't from this world. He was the Savior. He was from another world. He was from a greater world, heaven. That's why God sent His Son to die on a cross for all our sins, for all our shortcomings, for all the times we lived outside of this realm where we were just given into our flesh, where we just lived our life. We just did what we wanted to do. We chased things. But now that we hear the good news of God, we can repent and we can climb into this kingdom. This is the answer. This is the gospel. This is what Jesus spent 2.5 years of His ministry. He was only preaching for 3 years. 2.5 years of His ministry, He was up in Galilee preaching, the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and be baptized. He would cast out demons, He'd lay hands on the sick. He would share the good news that you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live a life separated from God anymore. You can walk with God like Enoch walked. Hallelujah. You can do mighty works. So the people who know their God, you can know God. You can hear God. God can speak with you. You can be a child of God. The future kingdom would be free from Satan. God was busy breaking into the present fallen order through sending His Son and establishing His kingdom on earth. It would now be free from Satan, from sin and sickness. In the person and ministry of Jesus Christ, things started to change. It began to break into the present age. In Jesus, the kingdom had arrived, and 2,000 plus years ago, later, here we are in Kimberley, 2026. Here we are. He's building His church. He's expanding His kingdom through you and through me. And He gives every person the opportunity. The invitation is not just for one person. It's not for a select few. It's not for a chosen frozen. It's for everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord. If you want to enter this kingdom, you just have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him. You don't have to buy your way into this kingdom. You don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to sacrifice. You come as you are. You don't first get your life in order. You come. You come. Repent and be saved. And the Lord will make you His own. That's the beauty of this whole message. Matthew 16:19. He said, here I am. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, Marcus. Now you're going to pray. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I can be a non-citizen of heaven and I can try bind things and loose things. All that's going to come out of my mouth is spit. But a brother that's in the kingdom and he prays with authority, the believer's authority, he prays with power, the heavens move, heaven listens, God starts to operate, angels are released through his words, and he starts to bind up the brokenhearted, he starts to bind up sickness and poverty. We speak any hindrance to what would expand God's kingdom in this land. We say, Father, bind it in the name of Jesus and loose the kingdom of God. Whether it's whatever is holding people back, Father, we speak your blessing on this land. Because he said he's given you and me that are in the kingdom, he's given us keys, keys of authority. You cannot open that door, my sister, my brother, by your shouting and by your screaming, even by your kicking. You ain't gonna get in. You need the keys of the kingdom. You need to be saved. You need to be called according to his purpose. And you need to operate in this realm, and things will shift and things will change. You're getting this morning. Trying my best not to preach, but to teach. He said it like this, and I close. Luke 10 verse 8 to 11. Marcus, now when you enter town and you're welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Okay. Even if it's food you don't like. What's the worst thing you've been offered to eat? And everybody watches. Have you ever had that? Have you ever been in that situation? Now, I'm sure it's not at your dinner table with your wife, because I've got no experience with that whatsoever. Maybe you have. My wife always makes great food, so I can't complain. But if you on a say you're on a mission trip to India, and everybody's been eating out of the bowl, and it's strong curry, and you're blessing it, and they give you the food, Marcus. They said, no, I'm fine. They said, eat it. He says, no, I'm fine. I said, no, eat. He says, eat it. Get it. He said, heal the sick. You are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Listen to this. When you enter town and you're not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your feet, the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Listen now, you should sit up and listen. Let this be a warning to you. Be sure of this, sir. The kingdom of heaven came close to you, came near you. One day when you stand before God, one day, you will not be without an excuse. The people of God came to you. The kingdom of heaven came near you. That's what Jesus said. When you yield, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When you share the gospel and they reject it, tell them, hey, sir, ma'am, I'm really deeply sorry. But please know the kingdom of God has come near you today. It's in this realm that we operate and we speak faith and we pray and we trust God that people's hearts will be knitted. People's hearts will, like on the day of Pentecost, like Peter, their hearts will be convicted to make right with Jesus so that they can move into this realm of faith. Amen. Come on, can we give our head usher, our principal, a big hand? Thank you. Come on, what Adam lost, what he had, what he once had, but he lost it. Taken by Satan, Jesus has won it back for us. Amen. Jesus came for every person. And I just want every head bowed, every eye closed. As we close the service, I want you to know God loves you. And God believes in you. Jesus restored it back to God, and God has now delegated it back to His church. Jesus is reigning and ruling through the number one organization on this earth. No, sorry, it's not your political party. It's not your soccer team. It's the church of Jesus Christ. He rules and He reigns from heaven through His people that are in the kingdom of God, sharing the good news. Whoever will hear, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're standing here today, you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're religious, you've tried it. Let me tell you, God has all power, He has all authority. No man can be saved but by the name of Jesus. It's not all roads lead to heaven. There's one, His name is Jesus, who died on the cross for you and for me. And He's calling you into His kingdom today. You don't have to wait until you die to go to heaven. You can operate as an extension of heaven today. In 2026, you can be a citizen already of heaven. You can come and get your visa. You can come and receive Christ. Today you can live a life worth purpose, not just living in this world chasing money or success or fame. You can be that one who found the pearl of great price. You can be sold out for something that is worth it. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Jesus said, choose life. You're standing here, you're sitting here today, you don't have assurance of salvation. I want you to know God loves you, and you can leave this place as a citizen of heaven, washed in the blood, repented of our sins, to come home. Come back. Come back. Your Father is calling you. You see, even some people were in the kingdom, but then they left, like the prodigal son. And in his pigsty, he came to his senses. The Bible says the memory of his good father made him realize, I can come home. There's nothing that you've done that can separate you from God's forgiveness. There's nothing, there's no mountain that is too high that God won't come and find you. All you have to do this morning is call upon His name. If that is you, while believers are praying, come on, you're in the kingdom now. You can pray and you can intercede. There's power in your prayer. We're praying for our city to get saved, to see revival. That people won't just be caught up with this world and its lust and its love for other things and the deceitfulness of riches, and get distracted with every other entertainment that can be thrown at us. But that we will be a people in God's kingdom, expanding His kingdom. So come on, pray now, intercede. Whoever you are as a believer, pray for the person this morning that's not in the kingdom, watching online. You know God is calling you. In this auditorium, God is calling you. Whoever you are, to follow Him this morning. If that is you, please, why don't you indicate to me right there where you sit, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just slip up your hand high. Just raise it up high. Just say, Pastor Brian, include me in that prayer right now. Forget your person next to you. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. I see that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Bible says many in the valley of decision. One last time, you haven't raised your hand, but you know God is speaking to you. Come on. Why don't you slip up your hand today? Thank you. Right across this place, there were many hands. Hallelujah. Family, won't you look at me? There were many of you that raised your hand. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. That's okay. But you know you want to make right today. You want to come and get your citizenship at the embassy. You want to make right with Jesus. I want to pray with every one of you. I want to lead you in a prayer. I want to lead you in a prayer that'll get your name recorded in heaven. I want to lead you to Jesus. So quietly, right across this place, every one of you, if we can all please stand to our feet and let's give a cheer to every person that is coming. Just come. Bring your personal belongings. If a friend brought you, a friend will come with you. Just come. Just come. Come on, let's cheer for them. As we sing a song, just come.
There is new life. There is healing. Brought by His blood, there is freedom. Call on the name
just come.
That can set you free. Come to Jesus. There is new life. There
come on, there's
is
more
healing.
Of you. Maybe you must turn to your neighbor and say, hey, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Come on, sir, please. Come, come, come. God loves you. His name is Jesus. Come, there's more of you. Give them a big hand this morning. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say, you in the kingdom? Just turn to your neighbor. Say, hey, you in the kingdom? Everything okay? If they're not sure, then just with love, don't manipulate, don't embarrass anybody. Just turn to them. Say, are you in the kingdom? And they say, yes, then it's fine. Leave them. But if they say, I'm not sure, just come. This is a safe space. This is the church. If you can't stand for God here, how will you stand out there in the marketplace? Come on, there may be one or two more people. Yes, come on, cheer, cheer, cheer. There's more. They're coming, they're coming. Kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Stretch out your wonderful hands towards these great people. Thank you for coming out this morning. I'm going to ask you to say this prayer. I'm going to lead you in the prayer. It's your prayer. I'm just saying it loud. Say it loud enough that you can hear your own words. Say with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I repent and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Came from heaven to die on a cross for all my sins. And I receive your forgiveness right now. I believe that he died on the cross. He went to hell, conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father resurrected him. I believe in Jesus. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, add me to your kingdom. Thank you for making me a citizen of heaven. From this day, the 1st of February, 2026, in Jesus' name, I'm a child of God. I belong to you. Amen. And amen. Come on, let's give God a hand.